You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our Head of Australian Economics. Gareth, good to have you on again.
G'day, Belinda. What a big week, hey? We're not even halfway through it.
No, we're not. So for those listening, we are recording this podcast on Wednesday morning, so the day after the Reserve Bank of Australia's decision to cut interest rates and start quantitative easing, which we're here to talk about. But obviously, today is also the day where we'll start to hear some of the US election results. So definitely an enormous week. And really an unprecedented announcement from the Reserve Bank of Australia yesterday, which was pretty much in line with our expectations that we talked about in the podcast last week. Gareth, what did they do?
Well, they did quite a few things. And as you said, it was pretty much in line with what we thought they would do. On the interest rate side, they dropped key interest rates all down to 10 basis points. So they took the target on the cash rate lower. They put down the target on the three-year government bond yield, and they also reduced the interest rate on the term funding facility. So all those three rates now sit at 10 basis points. Previously, they were at 25 basis points. And the intention there is to lower real interest rates to households and businesses. The other thing, of course, that they did was announce a quantitative easing program, and they're going to now buy $100 billion of government bonds in the 5 to 10 year part of the curve, and they're intending to do that over a six-month period.
Now, they're going to split that bond buying between the federal government bonds and also state government bonds, but the governor was at pains to point out that this is in the secondary market and this is not directly financing the government. Now, we had thought they'd do about $100 billion, but what was the thinking from the governor around that amount, and what are they aiming to do with all of this?
They're good questions. So the $100 billion works out at 5% of GDP, and it's a material amount of bonds. I mean, it's a clear intention to expand the balance sheet, and it'll have the desired impact of putting downward pressure on longer dated yields, and then by extension, puts downward pressure on the exchange rate. I think where the RBA got this one right yesterday was that they put a relatively short time frame of 6 months over which they intend to make those bond purchases. So that's quite an aggressive bond buying program, a little bit more aggressive, I think, than the market had priced in, which is why you got that reaction where yields went lower and the Aussie dollar came off a little bit at 230. You know, it's going to work out that they're buying bonds at around about $5 billion a week with a little break over the Christmas period. And I think that is a big enough intention in terms of the way the market has interpreted it to achieve their objective. And at the end of the day, that they can always do more if they need to when we get to May of next year, when that bond buying program is due to expire.
Yes, the governor was at pains to point out, particularly in his press conference post the 2:30 meeting, that they can do more and they will do more if is required. And we'll talk about what potentially that is later on. But why now? Like, they last made a material easing in monetary policy back in March, and that's really when the pandemic kicked off, and we saw government stimulus programs at the same time as RBA stimulus programs. And really, probably now when I step back and think about it, we've seen that again. We saw the October easing in fiscal policy. Now the RBA has come to the party, I guess, to complement the fiscal easing. But why now?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like the governor knew that would be asked, and therefore in his statement he actually addressed the question of why they're doing it now. And they basically think that they're going to get more traction now from easing policy than they would have done a little while ago. So in a lot of ways they've been watching how the economy has been going. It's clear now that we're on a path to recovery. And I think because of that, you get more traction then from lowering interest rates in particular. So the way that channel always works is it's going to mean lower interest repayments for those households that are carrying debt, and then it will encourage new borrowing for households and businesses at the margin. And then I think in terms of the bond buying program, they've really been just gathering evidence on whether or not this, what central banks have been doing overseas, the impact that that has been having on yields. And they've arrived at the conclusion that by not buying bonds, you know, in that 5 to 10 year part of the curve, interest rates here end up higher than they would be otherwise. So once they've got that evidence, made that assessment that there's a net benefit to undertaking a quantitative easing program, which is basically what they announced, then they've decided to move, and you know, that's going to have a clear impact on yields and also the exchange rate, which is exactly what they're trying to achieve.
Yes, he was at pains to point out that, you know, when they'd noticed the government bond buying programs internationally, a size around 5% of GDP, or as you said, $100 billion, did have a noticeable impact on yields and currency, which is why they've started. He was also very much talking about how their focus was on job creation, that they're concerned that if they didn't act, that we would not have as much employment creation as the Australian economy deserved, and that this would be quite destructive longer term for the economy and also for social consequences as well. So they are very much focused on creating jobs. So when we think about what's the test if this policy is successful or whether or not they need to do more, it really will be on the outlook for the labour market, won't it?
Yeah, that's right. Look, the labour market is critical to this. And I probably should add, when you ask why now, they're definitely not doing this now because the economic outlook has deteriorated.
No, yeah.
You know, we revised our forecast for growth and employment up quite a few months ago now, and the Reserve Bank is going to do similar when they put their updated forecast out in Friday's statement of monetary policy. So it's not because the economic outlook has deteriorated; it's actually improved, but it's still not. The outlook is, it still means that there's room for further monetary policy support. And in terms of what the Reserve Bank thinks on the labour market, you know, they think the unemployment rate will still be, or won't be lower than 6% at the end of their forecast horizon at 2022. So it's basically saying, look, yes, the outlook has improved, but we've still got a long way to go before it looks like it did pre-COVID, and therefore, you know, monetary policy support can help at the margin. But we just shouldn't lose sight of the fact that there's still limits to what monetary policy can actually do. And, you know, the job creation and the economic outlook from here is still going to be highly dependent on what happens with COVID. I mean, COVID hasn't gone away. And then secondly, fiscal policy. I mean, what governments can do can massively influence the labour market. They've got far more options at their disposal. And we've seen a lot of those already deployed this year. And yeah, I still think the economic outlook is far more heavily dependent on fiscal policy than it is monetary policy.
But it's certainly gotten a boost through the actions that the RBA decided on Tuesday. I guess when we think about what are they trying to achieve, they're also trying to create jobs and lower that unemployment rate, particularly probably the underemployment rate and the underutilization rate. They're also thinking about, as you said, that transmission mechanism of monetary policy. We talked about lower lending rates. We talked about a lower currency. The third transmission mechanism that Governor Lowe did talk about yesterday was higher asset prices, and that comes through what we call a portfolio substitution effect. So where people who used to hold government bonds that the RBA will now hold will have to invest in other asset classes. That's also going to have an impact on the housing market, won't it?
Well, yes, we think it will. And we've been here many times before where interest rates go down and that encourages new lending, and new lending goes into housing, and that puts upward pressure on house prices. You know, none of this is new. In fact, if you think about last year, up until the middle of last year, house prices nationally had been falling for almost 2 years. The Reserve Bank eased policy in June and July, and then again in October, and house prices were running red hot until COVID hit. So we're at a situation now where interest rates are as low as they have ever been. You know, you've got a lot of interest rates now lower than rental yields. We're seeing in our data at CBA a big increase in new lending. And a lot of that's just going to feed into the housing market. So It was interesting in the Q&A yesterday that the governor sort of hosed down the idea that, these latest interest rate cuts are going to result in a rise in house prices in any material sense. But we're not quite as convinced there. I think that the housing market's kind of set to take off at some point, given where the cost of money is. And on our forecast, we've got pretty strong rises in the profile from the middle of next year. But you've got to say the risks there are that those price rises actually start coming through earlier than our forecasts.
Yeah, interest rates are definitely the main driver of house prices over the longer term. Obviously, there will be some challenges with lower population growth, fall in rental yields, but we'll see how that plays out next year. Now, finally, we did hear the governor, as I said earlier, talk about they can do more if they need to do more, and they will do more if that does happen. What's next? Really, three policy options. There's direct intervention in the currency, which he has effectively ruled out, given the currency is around fair value. There is taking interest rates negative. And I think on a more positive side, I think given just where we've come to over the last, 12 months or so, he's not ruling anything out, but he still thinks it's extraordinarily unlikely and the costs would still outweigh the benefit. So really the third option is more bond buying if they need to do more. Is that how you're thinking about things at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think it's, on the negative rates, that's right around that extraordinarily unlikely mantra being retained. That was, we sort of thought that maybe the language was just softening, just to touch on that. And Deputy Governor Guy Debelle at one stage in a speech, maybe 6 weeks ago or so now, said, oh, the evidence is mixed on negative rates. But look, the governor reiterated yesterday that he still thinks negative interest rates are extraordinarily unlikely. So they actually haven't changed their stance at all there. So I think when they talk about doing more, they can't take interest rates any lower now without going negative. So that's kind of out. You're spot on about the currency intervention. They don't want to go there. So really, when they're talking about doing more, they're basically saying more QE, more bond buying. And look, we're a long way from that, given they've just announced something. But as we get into next year and we approach that key point of May where the bond buying program is due to expire, then of course everyone's going to be thinking what next if it looks like the economy could still do with further monetary support.
It's amazing how quickly we already turn to the next step when they just announced it, but I think that's just how, we are thinking about things at the moment, always looking at the outlook. Gareth, great to have your insights as always.
A pleasure to chat, Belinda. Cheers.
You can find Gareth Aird's report on the Reserve Bank of Australia's monetary policy decision released on the 3rd of November 2020 on combankresearch.com.au.